Hey, it's Austin James. If you're like me, trying to live your best life while living with diabetes, you can relate to worrying if you're doing a good job managing your diabetes. I use the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor to get real-time glucose readings and see the impact of every meal and activity to make better decisions. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor can help me live life with diabetes on my own terms, and it gives me more time for the things I love, like being a dad and a musician. Now this is progress. Learn more at FreeStyleLibre.us.
For prescription only, safety info found at FreeStyleLibre.us.
Everybody, welcome to the press. I'm Ryan Ballagy. Welcome to a new week. We've got a signature event this week to talk about. We've got the Memorial Tournament in Dublin, Ohio. Looking forward to talking about it with you here on today's show. It's been an interesting week already. I was in an auto accident yesterday in Louisville. I was a passenger in a car, got flipped over on its side a little bit. So that was a little scary, a little different, but no harm to me, no harm to anybody involved in the accident. Fortunately, we all walked away okay. I have no bumps, bruises, or anything. Very, very fortunate to be in that situation and not have anything truly horrible happen. Thanks to everybody at the Louisville Police Department and the Fire Department and the paramedics who came and helped us. They were awesome. They were incredible. Cannot be more grateful to those folks who helped us in a really tough spot. It was pretty incredible. So let's get to the business of the week. We've got a signature event. That'll be the focus of this show. For Colonial, we also have a major championship on the LPGA at the U.S. Women's Open. We'll talk about that in a second show. That'll be tomorrow's show, and then we'll get you ready for that major championship. We also have a Champions Tour event, the Principal Charity Classic out in Iowa, one of my favorite clubs, the Wakanda Club. Always makes me think of Black Panther movies. And then the Austrian Alpine Open, which is a first-year event in Austria. We've used to have other events on the DP World Tour and kind of that part of Europe, but this is a first year for this event. Very, very excited to have that, so we'll try to game plan that one a little bit. But our focus today is the Memorial Tournament, which is a signature event, $20 million purse, $4 million to the winner. We do have, for those of you who need that reminder, we do have a cut this week. It is to the top 50 in ties and any player within 10 shots of the lead after two rounds. Then they'll play that out from there. Give 700 FedEx Cup points to the winner. We are playing this once again at Muirfield Village Golf Club, opened in 1974. It's a Jack Nicklaus Jam. He has redone it probably six or seven times at least over the years. It's just kind of his thing that he keeps tweaking. And those changes just kind of keep cycling in and out. We haven't heard of any big changes for this year. So as we understood it from the last couple of years, I guess, since they redid 16, which was a long time ago, but they've made it better. They've softened that hole a little bit, and they've redone the greens too many times to count, to be honest with you. But this is a championship that typically plays more like a major, more like an old-school 90s, 80s major championship where the rough is deep. The fairways aren't necessarily narrow. They are fairly generous in most places, especially for a 7,569-yard golf course. The greens are typically very, very fast. I mean, 13.5 to 14.5 is typically where Jack likes to run it, especially in the last like 6 or 7 years, where he's trying to keep the winning score more like 10 under par, 8 to 10 under par, than the 12, 14, 16 it kind of got at times when Tiger was just thrashing the place and winning five times here. Scottie Scheffler is the defending champion, so he's going to obviously appear in our model, you would imagine, so we'll get right to that. Top 10 for our model this week, which we make the whole field available to our members at golfnewsnet.com. $40 for the first year or 1 year, $70 for 2 years, $100 for 3 years over at golfnewsnet.com. This is a 72-player field, by the way, so this is the minimum number of players available to compete in a signature event. I do find that interesting that this is the sixth one of these signature events, and of all of the ones that have had a minimum field requirement, because Century doesn't, they've all been 72 on the number. There hasn't been one since they've had this requirement where it's been like 78, 81 out of nowhere. Pebble also has a requirement of 80 as well because of the Pro-Am component to it. But 72 for the others. So expect that moving forward, I guess, unless they make some additional tweaks. But the model this week, I don't think this should be surprising to anybody. We've got everybody in this field but Rory McIlroy. We should address that really quickly. McIlroy's not playing. There was a little hullabaloo about it earlier in the week. I really don't care. Like, if if you don't want to play this tournament because you've played others or because you're tired or whatever's going on, go do your thing. You've done the tour solid a couple, a zillion times, but especially this year on some stuff. So it's okay. No Rory this week. Xander Schauffele's number one. He is the Scottie Scheffler's number one. He's the defending champion. Xander Schauffele's number two. He actually plays this course quite well. Hideki Matsuyama, three. Tommy Fleetwood, four. Patrick Cantlay, a two-time winner here, five. Daniel Berger is sixth. Colin Morikawa is seventh. Justin Thomas is eighth. Victor Hovland, past champion, ninth. Corey Connors, 10th. I don't think any of that is a surprise. We've got 44, the world top 50. We'd have 45 if Rory McIlroy played to the very tail end of this. You'll see this a little bit later. You got a couple of guys that really shouldn't be here, but they are invitees, namely Brant Snedeker, who's 2001. I think that kind of flies in the face of the signature model, but that's not the point of this show. We'll talk about that on maybe two off the first. Horses for courses to consider this week. Typically, we would talk about this in a separate show, but we're just going to combine everything here today. So Max Homa is a horse for course play. Scottie Scheffler obviously is having one here, but he's been here a number of times and close. Xander Schauffele has been close a number of times. Siwoo Kim is probably the horse for course play of the week for top 15s in the last 5 years of this tournament. I think you can also throw in the Workday Charity Open that they played here in the pandemic restart. You can, you can't, whatever, it's up to you, but it's basically the same course twice. So I don't think you should exclude it from your data set, but that's up to you. Denny McCarthy has played well here. Ricky Fowler's played well here. Three top 15s in the last 5 years of this event. And I think that's worth noting that he didn't have, obviously had a bad final round on Sunday at Colonial, but the first three rounds were good. Do you take anything away from that and try to salvage those three rounds and kind of shine them up a little bit this week? I suppose that's up to you, but my thinking would be at least worth a consideration. Let's look down the odds board. We'll talk about that in a minute or two. Let's get into course fits. So this is where we're looking at the strokes gain distribution percentage-wise across the disciplines between putting, off the tee, approach, and around the green. Or you can just do strokes gain tee to green versus strokes gain putting. There's lots of different ways to do this. But for players who finish in the top 25 of that particular tournament at that particular venue, which this one doesn't move around, compared to the players in the field, when they finish in the top 25 of any PGA Tour event, how do they do it? So I think that kind of tends to tell you how things might line up. This isn't a be-all, end-all kind of thing, but it is a good thing to know. And you do see some course fit guys show up here. Jordan Spieth probably would also fit as a horse for course kind of guy, but you see an interesting kind of common profile here among the guys on this list, which is Ricky Fowler, Patrick Cantlay, Jordan Spieth, Ben Griffin, who just won a Colonial, and Bud Cauley, who was third there. These are all guys that are not particularly long. They all are really solid approach play players. For the most part, good short game guys. I think that that's kind of the common thread of player that wants to do well here. And maybe you throw in a Denny McCarthy to that end. He doesn't about a in the range of course fit, but I think he would kind of fit in here as well if you were doing that. A little bit wider selection criteria than I have. And then we look at the past champions here, and you see a very interesting distribution. I think the takeaway for most of this for me is they're top guys. They're not all the same guy, right? Scottie Scheffler and Victor Hovland play two quite different games. Billy Horschel has just a thing for this tournament. I think he was maybe the outlier here. Patrick Cantlay twice. John Rahm should have won twice, but Patrick Cantlay won twice because of the COVID disqualification thing, because he tested positive. You'll never forget that John Rahm eyes bugging meme if you've been on golf Twitter for long enough. And then, obviously, Tiger went here five times. It's a wide distribution of types of players that can win, but by and large, Jack's Place has identified great players to be champions at Memorial. This is kind of the most complicated graphic we do all week, which is to look at players based on short-term form, based on three criteria. This is something, a full list we make available to our members at golfnewsnet.com. But I think this is really illuminating in terms of looking at how players are performing in the last 10 events on the PGA Tour. Not the last 10 events they played, but just the last 10 events, period. Whether you played in them once or 10 times is up to you. Strokes gain total is kind of my first indicator. Are you gaining 1.2 strokes per round in those events that you played in the last 10 played? Is that where you are? And this list is pretty sizable because it is also a signature event. We had a shorter list last week at Colonial, but you got Scheffler Thomas, Johnny Vegas, Xander Schauffele, Daniel Berger, Siwoo Kim, Andrew Novak, Jordan Spieth, Corey Connors. That list actually expands a little bit. Usually it gets a little smaller or it stays about the same, but it expands this week because we just had a major and we do this under Quality Strokes Gained, and Quality Strokes Gained is kind of our proprietary version of kind of measuring strokes gained against the quality of your competition. The multiplier for that is it based on what the official World Golf Ranking point tally is to the winner of that event. So the PGA Championship was 100 points to the winner. Move the decimal place to the left, two places, multiply by two. That's how you get your multiplier. So for a major championship, it's double the points. For a weaker event that might be an additional event, it's probably closer to 25 points to the winner, then it's basically worth half. So that's the range we're working in here. But obviously, you see this list expands. A lot of the same players are on here. Scheffler, Schauffele, Harris English, who had a great PGA, Johnny Vegas, Daniel Berger, Justin Thomas, Corey Connors, Siwoo Kim, Alex Noren, Ryan Gerard, who had a great PGA, JT Poston, Tommy Fleetwood, Aaron Rye, Sungjae Im, and Jordan Spieth. So a lot of guys kind of qualify under that metric. I would probably look more this week on that total metric and then maybe skip the QSG just a little bit, because in that span of the last 10 events, there's just a lot that kind of comes together. We're starting to get multiple majors in the same span, so that kind of influences things maybe a little bit more too. Strokes gained on the approach, we're looking at just guys who are 0.6 strokes gained on the approach per round in those 10 events played, whatever portion of those 10 that they played. This is important to me because it can help be an indicator of a player who is doing the most important thing well, which is approach play, because that's going to set you up for everything else after that, right? It's going to get you closer to the hole, hopefully, if you're hitting well on the approach, right? Hopefully that sets up more birdie and eagle opportunities, less need for scrambling and around the green stuff. And the off the tee stuff is really important, of course, but it doesn't tell you everything. I want to know if you're a good approach player above all else. So for those guys, well, again, a lot of the same folks, but Scottie Scheffler, Sepp Straka, who won recently, I mean, at the Truist Championship, he did that with putting. He didn't really do that on approach play, which is kind of interesting, but he was solid, of course. Siwoo Kim, Daniel Berger, Patrick Cantlay, Eric Cole, Brian Campbell. So Brian Campbell, obviously the shortest player on the PGA Tour, not going to gain a whole ton of strokes off the tee. He's got to do it on the approach and then drain putts. That's just how it's got to work for him permanently on the PGA Tour. Let's take a look at a couple players who are kind of strokes gained tee to green leaders with low variance. So something I really like to look at every week is the list of players in the field, how they're doing in the last 10 events on the PGA Tour. And sometimes I do 30, sometimes I do 10. I want to look at how you're gaining strokes tee to green and whether that you're doing that with low variance or high variance. Low variance tends to lead me to believe that you are a more consistent player, at least in current terms. So more smooth curve, less up and down. Those are guys I like, right? Especially if you're thinking about derivative bets. 5s, 10s, 20s, 30s, 40s, you want to look at players like this because you're more likely to get a consistent result from them. So from this list, four guys, Tommy Fleetwood, Daniel Berger, Alex Smalley, Bud Cauley. Very consistent years, very solid players. They don't make a lot of mistakes. They tend to find themselves in the thick of it just because they don't make a lot of mistakes. Scottie Scheffler is interesting because he probably should be on this list given how consistently excellent he is. But from a pure number smoothing perspective, he doesn't really fit because when he wins, he's way up there. And when he doesn't win, he's relatively way down here, but he's still way above everybody else below him. So this isn't a perfect metric by any means, but this kind of for normalized professional golfers, not Scottie Scheffler realm, not Rory McIlroy realm. This tells me folks who are playing well consistently. Then this week, this graphic is a little bit bigger than it usually is, for certainly bigger than last week where it was seven guys, I think it was. But we are trying to identify players who have a top 20 percentage, a 40% or greater in the last 50 PGA Tour events we actually have more than the guys on this graphic. We have a couple of extra, like Keegan Bradley's on this list, Siwoo Kim's on this list, toward the bottom end. But toward the top end, Scottie Scheffler's in the 80s, like high 80s. Colin Morikawa, Xander Schauffele, Corey Connors, Shane Lowry, Tony Finau. Those guys right about 60% or above. Then in the 50s, you're looking at like a Tommy Fleetwood, Aaron Rye, Patrick Cantlay, Sungjae Im, Sepp Straka, Sam Burns. He kind of gets into the 40s, and then you get some guys about 43, 42%. So there are a number of guys. You want to look at that tool really to help you from the perspective of those 5s, 10s, 20s, 30s, and 40s. I hate top 40. I hate top 30 bets. I really don't enjoy them, especially in a short field like this. You're wasting your time. And a lot of places probably won't even consider offering them, because if you make the cut, you're basically going to finish in that top 40. But I think a top 20 bet is interesting here. Top 10, 5, those are kind of interesting wagers for the week. But again, trying to identify players who just do this across the board, not just this event, who do it across the board. And these are those players whose game certainly travels. Let's talk briefly also about first round leader plays. This is an event where you kind of have to survive, and it almost kind of feeds up like a major, where the first day is somewhat accessible, and then it feels like the middle 2 days are very difficult, and the final day kind of lets up a little bit Masters-ish in that regard, I suppose. But we're looking at trying to find identify players who have great strokes gained in the first round as potential first round leader plays. Unfortunately, the top guys are top guys, so we don't have any kind of hidden gems here. We've got Scottie Scheffler, maybe Max Homa, I guess. I mean, he's sitting there at a triple-digit price overall to win this tournament, so you probably get a good number on him. Colin Morikawa, Patrick Cantlay, Jordan Spieth, Shane Lowry. You're not getting great numbers on those guys as first-round leader. Maybe Shane Lowry, maybe a Cantlay, but I mean, he's still even high up here this week given his course history. But if you look in the aggregate, you know, the last 50 PGA Tour events played, again, some similarities, right? Scottie Scheffler, Colin Morikawa, Xander Schauffele, Aaron Rye, Ludwig, and Keith Mitchell are players who fit the bill just in general. We know Keith Mitchell is the god of first-round leaders. Now let's get into, all of that said, the betting odds, full market. Let's get into that and kind of plot out our work for the week. Scottie Scheffler's plus 285. This is an offshore book price. Plus 275, I saw at DraftKings. I mean, these are crazy prices. It's unbettable, right? Scheffler could very easily win. We talked about this last week. He was plus 275 or plus 250. Yeah, he could win. Why would you even bother? Why are you going to bet that? That still doesn't imply a very high percentage chance, relatively speaking, to him winning, right? If you're looking at even money, plus 285 is still a long way from that. But I think he's obviously unbettable here in this tournament. Morikawa 14-1. Yeah, maybe, but doesn't win. But he's getting into the kind of Tommy Fleetwood territory. He doesn't win. Why would you bet a guy to win that doesn't win? Xander Schauffele 18-1. I think at some point he is going to come out of this, what he is in, and excel to a level closer to 2024. Not that he's playing bad golf. I mean, he's playing decent golf. Certainly world-class golf, but not compared to what he was last year. Fleetwood 22-1, never, ever, never, never. Justin Thomas 25-1, kind of burnt me at the PGA, so I'm still mad about that. Cantlay 25-1, I mean, there's something there, but not a lot there. He was a non-factor at the PGA. Corey Connors 30-1, plays well everywhere. Might be an interesting look. Ludwig, just too inconsistent, 30-1. Victor Hovland, a champion here, 33-1. Again, two up and down. Daniel Berger 35, doesn't really pop historically on this golf course, but he seems to be a fit for it. Hideki 35. Sepp Straka will probably play at 35, even though he doesn't seem like a course fit. And then again, he didn't seem like a course fit to me at Philly Cricket in some ways, but he's a very strong approach play player. Just get off the tee, and he has a tendency to do that. If the putting shows up, if the guy that won Truist in terms of putting shows up, he can win anywhere. I wouldn't put it past him. I love Shane Lowry on tough tests, but not a great record here. For the same price of 40-1, why would you just go to Siwoo Kim and get that instead? Tony Finau is, I think, worth a look here at 50-1. 2 8th place finishes in the last 5 years. 2 19th or better finishes in the last 3 events. So he's been playing some pretty decent golf. Denny McCarthy likes this course. Had a really good PGA championship. I think he's worth a look. Keegan Bradley's playing pretty well. 55-1. He seems to be kind of starting to realize he could be on a quest to make his own team. So I think that's worth a consideration. But he doesn't particularly play this place well. J.J. Spawn, maybe. Russell Henley, that's going to be a no. Matt Fitzpatrick seems to be showing signs, I think. But if you want to try to maybe make a parallel to the country club, I could see that a little bit, I guess, in some ways, not in others, but in some ways, maybe you want to derive that. JT Poston's kind of interesting. I feel like he fits the bill like a Billy Horschel champion from 65-1. I will pass on Sanjay at the same price. Really only we have 72 guys, so we have three graphics for this week. Now we're talking about guys from like 70 to 165-1. Ben Griffin, who just won last week, playing great golf. Obviously, 70-1 takes a lot out of you to win. Really had an emotional response. I think it was kind of unexpected to him even for winning, but it was really cool to see. But maybe he's a little tired. I can't imagine you want to bet on somebody to go back-to-back named Ben Griffin, but he does have two wins this year. And I did hear a discussion on SiriusXM with my friends Frank Darby and Brian Kroll about the value of a team win. And they really hoped that he would get an individual win because it didn't feel like he was really a PGA Tour winner. I think that's a load of crap personally, but I appreciate that Ben Griffin got the win. So for any of the people who would have that opinion, that is no longer important. Andrew Novak at 75-1, Alex Noren 75-1. He's a fit everywhere. Bobby Mack to a degree is a fit. Harris English at 80. I think is probably going to get some love this week. I think he'll be interesting. I had Matt McNeely as my one and done last week, and he completely just let me down. I thought that was a place that was going to really fit his game, and it didn't. You've got Akshay at 100, who seems to be trying to find something. I don't think it's quite there yet, so let's stay away. Adam Scott, 110, found something at the PGA. Brian Harman, I think Bud Cauley's the best play of this group at kind of that 100 to 110 number. He's been playing great. He would be a great story. I think he's long enough to do it. Max Homa is going to be, I think, an interesting play for some people. I think I would play him first round leader and nothing else. Feels like he's got one to two good rounds in him in a tournament, and then it all goes away. So I'm not willing to bet him yet because I don't think he can string four good enough rounds together yet, but I think he can do it in a one-round situation. Davis Thompson, Minwoo Lee, forget him. Ricky Fowler may be worth your time because he is a course specialist. He did play well for the most part at Colonial. I think he puts a lot of pressure on himself now. He's at the stage of his career where winning might happen one or two more times, maybe three if he's lucky. Maybe that's a first-round leader play. Christian Bezuidenhout fits his place pretty well, actually. He could have been on the course fit graphic. Don't love him here, but could have been on there. Wyndham Clark, be interesting to see what he's like, given the whole temper tantrum thing of the PGA Championship. Ben On's been close here and has been a contender at this golf course. I mean, he is kind of the guy that fits it. He played well at Wentworth so many different times over the years in the DP World Tour. He's not playing his best golf, but he could be an interesting fit. I think Ryan Gerard fits everywhere. I would play Ryan Gerard at 150-1 and not even be ashamed about it. And then we get to the back end here, and you're starting to kind of see guys that you're going to be reaching for. I mean, let's go from the other way up, right? Frantz Snedeker is 2,500-1. Harry Higgs, 1,250-1. Nick Dunlap, 1,001. Matthew Pavon, 500-1. Brian Campbell, 500-1. I mean, those are guys you probably wouldn't think about. I think you could consider Pavon. I mean, a little sprinkle. Ryan Fox, I think is getting into a better position. Obviously, won in Myrtle Beach. I think he's starting to figure out the schedule. Now he has access to this kind of stuff. Maybe he starts to shine. Matty Schmid's probably going to get some attention because he hung on pretty well at Colonial. He is very streaky. So if you're starting to feel that he's going to kind of keep that going, then 250 is an interesting price. I don't think he's going to win. Then you get into like your Tom Dietrich's and Nick Taylor's, Saheth. I mean, guys just kind of feel like they're searching a little bit. Cameron Young seems like he's starting to find some answers, but still way off. I don't think anyone on this list really screams to me that they're worth that kind of investment. Let's just put it that way. So I think you're looking at mostly 40 or shorter this week. Maybe you can find some guys in that, 50-1 range, right? That wouldn't hurt you too much. Let's look back at a McCarthy or a Finau at 50 and 55, maybe a JT Poston, but I think I would kind of lean into Siwoo Kim, Sepp Straka, Corey Connors, and that would probably be my plays this week. I'm not going to play Scheffler. I feel like I'm kind of doomed on events where Scheffler plays, or Scheffler McIlroy, or Scheffler McIlroy and DeChambeau play. It just doesn't feel like there's a lot of value there, because you expect them to carry it. And yet still, Scotty Scheffler did not win last week. He didn't show up with his best game. He's going to be playing three in a row. Might be pretty tired. I think there is an opportunity here to get a piece of the pie, get a good payoff without having to worry about Scheffler, and then watch him win by a zillion. So it's a hard game playing against Scotty Scheffler, but that's kind of where we are this week once again. That's going to do it for us today on The Press. Thanks so much for watching or listening. You can catch us as a audio-only podcast on your favorite podcast platform of choice, including our Golf News Net Radio YouTube channel, which is just the audio version of the show, no video component. You can watch us on our YouTube channel on golfnewsnet.com. You can watch the show on Golf News Net TV, which is available on Freecast, Zeem, Free Live Sports, and the Golf News Net apps for Roku and Amazon Fire. Join Golf News Net for $40 a year, $70 for 2 years, $100 for 3 years at golfnewsnet.com. Get access to all of our tools, modeling, everything that we do over at golfnewsnet.com. Tomorrow we will have a show about the U.S. Women's Open. Won't be as long as this one, but we'll get into some depth. We'll get into some modeling. We'll talk about favorites and kind of build player profiles to like this week. There is some value out there, I think, with Aaron Hills being the host. A little bit longer of a test, a little bit different one than maybe what was seen in 2017 for the U.S. Open. So we'll talk about that one tomorrow. Hope you have a great week betting. Good luck on all your bets this week. I'm Ryan Ballingy. Thanks so much for watching or listening. We will see you next time on The Press.
Hey, it's Austin James. If you're like me, trying to live your best life while living with diabetes, you can relate to worrying if you're doing a good job managing your diabetes. I use the Freestyle Libre 3 Plus sensor to get real-time glucose readings and see the impact of every meal and activity to make better decisions. The Freestyle Libre 3 Plus sensor can help me live life with diabetes on my own terms, and it gives me more time for the things I love, like being a dad and a musician. Now this is progress. Learn more at freestylelibre.us.
For prescription only, safety info found at freestylelibre.us.